Today, let's talk financial advising, retirement and tax strategy. Where to put your money, the good, the bad, and the ugly, 'cause today will help you build your legacy with the fire on the wall.
Welcome back to another episode of Fly on the Wall Finance. I'm your co-host, Tony Shore. And as always, I am joined by the one, the only, Jamie Malm. Jamie, I know that you have a lot of important conversations with families every week. And despite that, you agree to talk to me once a week. And sometimes, you know, if I'm along the important topics, I might sidetrack us. We may end up talking about pizza for a time.
You never know.
You never know. Today you brought a big one, and I'm excited to hear about it. But first, how have you been? You're keeping busy, right? I mean, you only wear about 10 hats over there, right?
Yeah, I am definitely keeping busy. So we just held our Christmas party for our clients. This was the second, which was wonderful. Emma did a great job. It was wonderful. Emma did a great job. We had gingerbread house making for the kids. We did ornaments. We had letters to Santa. We had Santa in attendance. We had a photo booth.
Wow.
Brad barbecued this year, which is always a big hit with everybody. We did some trivia, which, for those that don't know Margot, she is a history teacher, and she made the trivia so hard that I think we were lucky for people to get one or two out of the 30 questions that she relayed. So
that's not good.
I said, I promised that I would do the trivia for next year, because I can guarantee you my Christmas trivia will not be layered with so many historical events.
Like advanced history class.
Yeah, it really was.
That's no fun.
But it's fun. It's a fun time of year. It's the holidays. We just wrapped up Thanksgiving and now Christmas. And I think this topic plays in really well with kind of the natural conversations or maybe the thought processes people are going to have as we go through holidays. We start, you know, thinking about our families more and reflecting on our time spent and memories. And for many of us, it might be that we're thinking about how many more, what's my family picture going to look like when I'm no longer here? And that's just gets interwoven into all financial conversations. But I think it's timely to have the conversation that we're going to today.
All right. So I think that's great. So what is it we're talking about specifically and overall today?
Yep, good question. So we're going to talk about really two sides to your financial life. There's the income plan, the financial freedom that we want all of our clients to feel while they're alive. But then there's the legacy side of it. And that comes with a lot of questions, right? We want people to enjoy their lives for decades after they retire from working, but we also want to protect then the legacy for the people that they love the most. And that sometimes gets a little more complicated than people expect it to.
Sure. So it can get complicated. And I think most people assume that it's just about leaving what is left over, right? It's just about what's left over. But there's so much more to think about. There are things people can control. And then there are things like legislative changes that can impact your plan that you have no control over. I mean, you can vote, but once you do that, it's out of your hands. We can't control what the government does after that, unfortunately, or not have a big impact anyway. So yeah. I like it. I like you breaking it down. Things we can control and things we can't control, why not focus on the things we can, right?
Yep, exactly. And retirement planning and then legacy planning, they're really connected decisions. So we talk about it being two sides of the coin, but they really have to work together. And if you don't have confidence in your income plan and how you're going to generate that and how you're going to have the financial freedom to do all the things that you want to do, you're probably not feeling overly confident about your legacy either. So I think let's start with this. People hear the words financial freedom and they picture this giant dollar amount that I have to have in my bank account in order to feel financially free. But it's really not the dollar amount. It's a feeling, it's a confidence, it's control. It's knowing that when I wake up tomorrow, I don't have to worry about where my income's going to come from and whether or not it's going to keep pace with inflation or is going to be negatively impacted by future tax increases or legislative changes. You know you have a plan and that's creating that financial freedom.
Right. And financial freedom is what it's all about. And it's not just it's not just one magic number, right? And retirement planning and legacy planning, they are connected. I like that. So that's really important. And knowing your income is protected and preventing as much as possible that loss, it's the potential impact of things you can't control once again, right?
Yep. And it's knowing that the flow of money doesn't necessarily stop or doesn't fluctuate wildly when your paycheck stops. So there's, you know, one thing that I think really surprises people in how much different income planning is, the distribution side of our financial life, than saving for retirement. Saving is accumulation, income is distribution. And we don't want people to have big surprises when it comes time to make that shift. So we want to have a very intentional and strategic plan to help navigate what that looks like.
Right. And nobody, Jamie, wants to outlive their money. Every survey that they take among seniors, the number one fear or concern of seniors is running out of money in retirement. And like our old friend Tom Lowry always told me, you don't want your blood pressure to your bank account to hit zero before your blood pressure does, right?
Yes. What did he call himself? I can't remember. The something doctor.
Yeah, retirement. Anyway, he was the retirement doctor.
Doctor. So it makes sense. Yeah, it makes sense that he talked about blood pressure.
You don't want your bank account to hit zero before your blood pressure does. That's a good one.
And that concern about living money is the number one concern I hear about. It's not the stock market necessarily. It's not even really taxes, although that's a big one. It's outliving the nest egg that took a lifetime to build. So first step is to make sure that your income is not dependent upon just a good year in the market, right? That's kind of 101. We've talked about that in previous episodes. So not a lot that we'll get into here for today. But first, set aside the I know so money. This is the money I know is going to be there. I know it's going to generate income. That's creating first the foundation of your plan.
Right. And you have to get that foundation created. And I know that there is a lot to that foundation. You start with things like that. Look at Social Security, 401ks. So, but you mentioned taxes. And I think that's the part that gets so often overlooked. A lot of so-called financial advisors, they don't want to talk about that. They don't want to plan for that. And taxes affect everything and probably are one of the biggest costs people will have in retirement, right?
Absolutely. You just mentioned it in talking about 401ks. Most retirement money is sitting inside accounts that have never been taxed before. Traditional IRAs and 401ks, that's where most of us tend to have our money during the accumulation phase of our financial life, which they're fantastic for building wealth while working. That's what they're designed for. But they were never intended to be the most tax-friendly way to either distribute for you, for your income, or to pass on as a legacy benefit. When you take money out of those accounts, it's taxable. When Right. your kids or your grandkids take it over, it's taxable. When your kids inherit it, it's taxed even faster and probably at the highest tax rate because we're layering the inheritance on top of what they're already earning. So we really have to have an intentional plan for the tax piece of it. Know what we can control, know what we can't control.
Yeah. And you're saying taxes can shrink a legacy dramatically, right?
They can. And it happens kind of quietly, right? People spend their whole lives watching their account balances grow. They forget they've got a silent partner there that's watching those account balances grow right alongside them. And that's the IRS. So if you don't have a plan for how you're going to take money out, if you don't have a plan for taxes, the government does, you're probably not going to like their version very much.
Right. And what you're saying is a lot of folks with the traditional 401ks, 403bs, employer-sponsored retirement accounts, or traditional IRAs, those are all joint accounts. All that money is not yours. And I always think of a buddy of mine once we were talking. He goes, I've got $100,000 already in my 401k. And I'm like, great. This is a few years back. And he goes, yeah, $100,000 to spend in retirement. And I said, no, you don't. That's not all yours. And he goes, yeah, it is. And I'll have that $100,000. I can take it out in retirement when I'm old enough. And I go, no, Uncle Sam, that's a joint account with Uncle Sam. And he'll take as much as he says he can take. And he sets that amount too. He can change that at any time, right?
Yeah, that's the legislative risk. So
yeah,
not just about who gets your money, but how much of it do they get? And the goal, as we look at, all right, we've created the foundation for income. We know that's I know so money, but now we have to layer, how do we get that out of the most tax efficient way possible? And the goal is to shift as much money as possible, as much as makes sense for your situation, from taxed when you take it out to tax free when you take it out. And there are several ways to do it, but there are some costly mistakes that you can make along the way if you don't have a strategic plan. So it's so important to work with a professional, somebody that knows if you make an adjustment over here, everything has a side effect, right? And so what else did that impact? We don't want any surprises there. We want to be really intentional and strategic with how we make the shift from, I'm going to pull it out, it's going to be taxable at whatever the future tax rates are, to, nope, I have protected myself. I'm now got that into an alternative option where I can pull it out completely tax-free.
Right. And that makes perfect sense. You really need to have a plan in place. And like you said, work with a trusted financial services professional like yourself, who's a fiduciary, who's going to look out for your best interests and get that strategic plan in place for you. That's what you do for your clients and people you meet with. So I encourage our listeners out there to give you a call and set up that no charge, no obligation consultation with you and your team. Now, let's move on to the next aspect of this, which is kind of the emotional side, the yeah, family matters and emotional side, because I feel like inheritance is more emotional than financial for most people. I saw it when my grandfather died and my dad and his siblings. I think it really is emotional and not, more than financial.
For sure it is. And that's where it kind of goes back to what I said at the beginning of, we're in the holiday season, we're spending a lot of time with families, we're sitting around the table together. And the older we get, I find myself doing this, the more I start thinking about, you know, well, how many more years do we have with the kids at home? How many more years is Christmas going to look like it does now? What is this going to look like? Are my kids still going to want to be together and spend holidays together when we are gone? And when somebody tells me they want to leave something behind for their kids or their grandkids, it's really less about the financial aspect of it. It's more about love. It's about dignity. It's about making a difference when they're no longer here. And less people care about making their kids rich as they do about setting something up to help their grandkids go to college or start a business or buy their first home. And that's where, you know, we really want to focus in looking at what kind of financial freedom and confidence do you have that your hard-earned assets are going to take care of you. And then when they pass to kids, to your grandkids, to your loved ones, is Uncle Sam sitting there as a silent partner, or have we done the things up front to make sure that your money is used the way you want it to be used and it's going to the people you want it to go to?
So legacy becomes something that shapes future opportunities then.
Yeah, you want to ensure what you leave behind provides value. It's not creating confusion. It's not creating friction between family members. And that's what happens when there isn't a clear plan, or when there's surprise taxation, or it drains more than it's expected, or, you know, God forbid, there are mistakes on beneficiaries or the way accounts are held. Things like the legal structure, wills and trusts, and having per stirpes and per capita, all of that correct, that prevents so much heartache later on for the people that we care about. And that's really what we want to zero in on.
Yeah. And you know what? I have to ask you about the widow penalty. It sounds just a little ominous, the widow penalty. What is that? I had a sound effect specifically for the widow penalty.
That's very dramatic. I love it. It sounds a little ominous. That is correct.
Yeah.
It is something that most people don't see coming. And what happens when the first spouse passes away, taxes often rise for the surviving spouse. So in this case, let's just assume the woman outlives the man. That's usually what happens. So let's say man has the higher Social Security check. When he passes, we're going to lose hers because she's going to keep the higher of the two. So we're going to have a little bit of a drop in income, probably not enough to say, no matter, we don't need to replace that. Usually we replace that lost income some way, maybe with a withdrawal from a retirement account, for example, to make up the difference. So now we replace the income. Income's the same, but the big impact comes from the tax filing status change. We're no longer getting to file married. We're filing single. The tax brackets changed significantly. So now we have the same income, maybe less, but it ends up being taxed more heavily. So same money, maybe even less money, but higher taxes. That's the widow's penalty. And that usually comes as a pretty big surprise to most people.
Yeah. I don't hear that talked about a lot, and it feels unfair. I mean, the last thing a grieving spouse should have to deal with is a higher tax bill, but you're right. You can't file married or filing jointly. You're going to be filing as a single. The tax brackets change usually
so much lower.
Yeah. And they go lower. So if you make over those amounts, you're going to be in a higher tax bracket and have to pay more in taxes. I get that. That is a problem. So,
yep. And planning ahead can eliminate that, or at least drastically reduce it.
Sure.
Widows and widowers, I mean, they've got so many other things to try to navigate, and this new life that they've got to try to figure out. We don't want to have these additional surprises and headaches that come from financial burdens that we didn't account for when they could have been avoided.
Right. And that's why you need a tax strategy headed into retirement, and to think about a tax strategy in the case that one spouse, whether it's the husband or wife, passes. Yeah. One spouse usually passes before the other. So a lot of people are going to be left in that situation. Plan ahead for it. How do we get ahead of these problems? If somebody's listening today and thinking, oh no, this sounds like my situation, or I might be in that situation, what should they do about all of these things we've been talking about?
Yeah. First step, I think, is just to know what you have. Know how your retirement funds are taxed. Do you know what your future income is going to look like? Do you know if that income plan is, or how it is impacted by taxation? Do you know what the plan is to support your spouse and your kids financially if something happens to you? Most people are going to say no to at least one of those, which is why we want to have the written income plan, the full retirement legacy analysis. We need to show a version. And I think this is most helpful for people to show, what does it look like if we do nothing? Here's this strategy versus what if we make some adjustments and you're able to optimize each of these areas? And what does that look like? That difference can be life-changing.
Yeah. It's like figuring out what that road ahead looks like before you get there or travel it, right?
Yeah. We don't want to just walk blindly into retirement. We want to go in with knowing our options, eyes wide open. We've got all the info and now we can make informed decisions.
Right. So let's talk about our real life experience. I know that you've dealt with this with a lot of folks over the years. How have you seen this play out for others?
Yeah, this happens so frequently, and in part because it's so common that people would have IRAs and 401ks as the bulk of their retirement savings. They come in and they're so proud of where we're at, and we've got, you know, $2 million that we have saved, and we've got X amount earmarked for us to be able to do all the things that we want to do in retirement. I just sat with a couple last week, and as we looked at everything on paper, kind of like your friend, they knew they had to pay taxes, right? I don't think they were maybe as shocked. Yeah, I know it's taxable. So that was good. But as we actually started looking at the analysis, they had planned on, out of their 2 million, about 500,000 kind of being earmarked and set aside, that's what was going to go to kids and grandkids. Well, we ran the analysis. We looked at their tax situation, and that 500,000 that they had earmarked for their grandkids, if we would have let it pass the way they intended, their kids, and let's just assume, this is what I assume for them, let's just assume taxes don't increase in the future. Let's just assume they stay where they're at now. A top tax bracket is over 40%. So if you have kids that are making any kind of just even average money, and you layer that inheritance on top of it, they're losing almost half of that nest egg to taxes right off the bat.
Wow.
That's when you see that on paper and see that's not what they get. Yes, that's what you're leaving to them, but here's what's actually going to them. That is so disheartening. So we put a new strategy in place where that same money could transition completely tax-free to kids and grandkids. We protected it from future taxation. So regardless of what happens, that money is passing to them without Uncle Sam taking his share. It created about an additional $250,000 that would end up going to their kids that they would have lost out on. That's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a huge deal. And I mean, the legislative risk of taxes increasing, that's something we all have to consider, right? I mean, taxes can only do three things: stay the same, go up, or go down. We're at historic lows now. We have record national debt. And I don't see how they cannot raise taxes in the future. Almost everybody agrees they're going to have to, right?
Well, that's probably an entire show in and of itself. But think of it this way. Last year, and these are numbers I think I caught from 2024, but last year government took in about $4.9 trillion in revenue. Half of that came from individual income taxes. So while we're tempted to say, well, the government needs to just spend less, get things under the control, the bulk of the spending, the bulk of the government expenses is mandatory spending, things that President and Congress don't necessarily control. It's our Social Security, it's Medicare, it's Medicaid. Most don't want to see that go down, right? We don't want to see money not being spent there. So $4 trillion of the 4.9 went to mandatory spending items. The other 0.9 was spent on servicing debt, another form of mandatory spending, which we probably can't ignore. So all that revenue that we took in was spent before we factor in Department of Education, military and defense, road construction, all the things that we want to be able to spend money on. That accounted for another $1.9 trillion. We're spending more than we're taking in. That's in part what's gotten us to the $37 trillion in debt that we're currently at. And so what's the solution? Well, we don't want to cut programs. We've got an issue here where we've got debt that we've got to service. So what's the natural course of action that's most likely going to be looked at? Generate more revenue. Where's that revenue going to come from? It's going to come from higher taxes. So the likelihood, I would say, that taxes are increasing in the future is what most people are expecting. When we just kick the can down the road and we don't do something to protect ourselves from those future tax increases, then we're leaving ourselves completely vulnerable to whatever that looks like. We've got Uncle Sam hanging out there as a silent partner, and we know he's going to take some portion of it. The question is how much, as it stands right now with some of the current tax brackets that are the lowest in 100 years. We're at a top tax rate of 40%. What's that going to look like if it increases?
Yeah. Yeah. That's really important. So what's the big takeaway here for anyone listening? What's your big message to finish on today?
I would say, think about how hard you've worked for your retirement. You've worked way too hard to build that nest egg and leave your legacy, leave your future income, leave your financial freedom to chance. Everybody deserves clarity. They deserve confidence. You deserve to have some protection against those potential legislative changes. And planning is not about fear. It's about being able to make informed decisions and empower yourself to insulate your hard-earned assets. So know what you have now and know what your options are. Those would be the first two things that I would start with.
That sounds good. Well, a powerful show today. You gave us a lot to chew on here and to think about. I think a lot of people are going to rethink how prepared they really are. And I think that they probably need to reach out to you, set up a consultation to either get a second opinion, ask any questions, and get a plan in place, right?
Yeah. And we do those at no cost. We know we talk about that every week on the show, but that's the starting point. We don't believe in charging somebody to put together initial plans. We don't even know if we can help you yet. So the goal is to make sure you're aware of your options, to know where you're at, and then help you make some decisions from there. So if you want to take advantage of that, you can call our office. That number is 620-377-6456, or you can go online. Our website is simply ironhorsefinancialservices.com. It's our name. And there's a book now button at the top. So if you like to just book online without having to pick up the phone and call, you can do that also, but we'd be happy to meet with you.
All right. That sounds great. Jamie, great show today. Listeners, thanks for tuning in. That does it for today's episode of Fly on the Wall Finance with our host, Jamie Malm.
Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next week.
That wraps up another episode of the Fly on the Wall podcast. Join us next time as we continue the conversations and bringing you behind the scenes in the world of finance. And don't forget to stay connected with us on your favorite social media platforms and subscribe wherever you're listening to podcasts so you don't miss an episode. And we will see you next time.
All matters discussed during this show are for informational purposes only. Opinions expressed are solely those of Iron Horse Financial Services and staff. All topics covered are believed to be from reliable sources. However, Iron Horse Financial Services makes no representations as to its accuracy or completeness. This commercial shall in no way be construed as a solicitation to sell securities or advisory services to residents of any other state other than Kansas or otherwise permitted. Topics should be discussed with your financial advisor prior to implementation. Advisory services offered through Iron Horse Financial Services, a registered investment advisor in the state of Kansas. Insurance products and services are offered through Iron Horse Retirement, an affiliated company. Iron Horse Financial Services and Iron Horse Retirement are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any other government agency.